The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
And I say, hey, what a wonderful kind of day. If you could learn to work and play and get along with each other.
Welcome everybody to Wednesday War Games, episode 30. Liam, tell me all about Dirt 5.
Dirt 5 is the fifth installment in the award-winning Dirt series.
What awards has it won?
Best Vroom.
Oh, beating Gran Turismo and Mario Kart.
Would you like to know a fun category in the Vroom Awards?
Sure, go on.
Best Vroom Acting, awarded to Troy Baker for his role in Dirt 5.
One can only assume making the noises of the cars.
It'd be the best, though.
If he's just like...
But no, it's just going to be some dopey cinematic story.
Not him pretending to be a car. It would be much funnier if he was pretending to be a car.
That should be like a DLC pack. There's like really famous voice actors doing...
Like Morgan Freeman. Just kidding.
Yeah.
Morgan Freeman making car noises.
Matt Mercer like doing it as if it's some fantasy thing. Just like vroom, vroom.
I did like in that Xbox presentation. It's like, and we got the voices of Troy Baker and Nolan North for our dumbass car game that no one plays for a story.
Well, there was one dumbass car game that had a good story in recent years.
Mario Kart 8 Deluxe.
No. It was the one that like you could drive like literally across all of America.
That was probably a Forza.
I think it was called The Club.
Oh, that's not a Forza.
No, that is not a Forza. What's your favorite Forza?
I've never played a Forza.
I don't actually mean Forza. I mean driving games. They just are all Forzas to me.
It's obviously Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. It's the only good driver. It's the only good racing game.
I played that in a cabinet once.
Ooh, they have different things in the cabinet, don't they?
Yeah, it was pretty fun. I like cabinets. I think I'd buy an arcade cabinet.
It probably wasn't Mario Kart 8. It was probably the equivalent of Mario Kart 7 at the time, but I played that in a cabinet in Japan.
Ooh.
It was very small. I was like, and I'm a small boy. Even then, I was like, I'm struggling to fit in this Mario Kart cart.
What's your favorite arcade game you've played in an arcade?
I've properly been in an arcade in a very long time. There's like a Jurassic Park shooter game that I remember that was fun, and that's about
it. I've played
that
a few times.
Yeah, so there you go.
Me and a friend, we went to a barcade.
Ooh.
And we were having beers, and we played through the entirety of House of the Dead.
Nice.
And we just kept we must have sunk like $40 into that game.
I was gonna say, how much would that have cost you? You basically paid for a full game.
Yeah, we did that, and we at the same time we were giving money to our friend to go and buy us more drinks while we were playing. And it was funny, like most of the games are like in this central area, but like House of the Dead was just like off to the side near the toilets, so like we were in this like area just by ourselves playing while everyone else was like playing Street Fighter and I was gonna say Space Jam, but that's not what I'm trying to say.
Space Invaders.
No, that's the oh, this is bad. The basketball game, the arcade one.
NBA Jam.
Yeah, NBA Jam. I was going to call it Fire Pro. I was like, that's not, wait a minute, no.
Fire Pro Basketball, you know.
Just really good simulated basketball games.
Yeah.
What was your highlight from the Xbox Live show?
None, really. That was pretty mediocre. I liked the anime game, Bandai Namco, Scarlet, whatchamacallit, Scarlet Nexus, was that the name of it?
Yeah.
That looked cool. And Call of the Sea looked okay, and the rest was like, okay.
I'm excited for Yakuzis.
Like, well, Yakuza, that was already announced, though. Like,
it's yeah, but, like, just, that's the first time we got, like, I think that's the first time we got, like, footage and stuff, though.
No, there's been footage. It's out in Japan. Yeah. That game just, it's so, like, the game has been released. It's not a next-gen game.
Well, I think the thing is that it was, like, normally these Yakuza games take, like, 2 years to localize, and the fact that it's going to be localized by the time the Xbox Sex is out.
And it's the first time it's not exclusive to a PlayStation console as well, so there's that, but...
And also, like, it's probably a pretty big get in the fact that PlayStation didn't get to do the announcement.
Yeah, it was like, this doesn't feel like a next-gen... This felt like the average Xbox showcase, not like, we have a new console coming. There was nothing like, whoa, this is the power of the next generation.
I think a lot of people were disappointed, too, because this was the Xbox E3 equivalent.
Well, in theory, it's only half of it, because the first-party stuff is in July.
Well, I was going to say, aren't they doing, like, a monthly thing from this point forward?
Yeah, they're basically doing reveals every month through the end of 2020. And, like, none of the first-party stuff was in. They should have led with the first-party stuff. Come
but on. They said that wasn't ready yet. They're like...
Well, there you go. It's funny. I think Nintendo are the only company that has actually mastered expectations management. Because, like, going into this stuff, Nintendo are always like, we're not going to announce a Smash character. Don't even worry about it.
And then they're like, here's a Smash character, you son of a bitch.
And yeah, occasionally they'll lie to you and be like, we're only talking about games coming out this year. And then they'll be like, and Breath of the Wild 2 is coming. It's like, Nintendo.
Oh, Nintendies.
Whereas, Xbox come out there and like, we're going to show you the first gameplay of the next generation. And you look at it, it's like, okay.
Everyone's, we're going to show you gameplay from Valhalla. You can find it in between all of the cinematic shots.
There's like, yeah, 2 frames of it in there. Well, good job, guys.
What do you want to see from the first party announcements?
I don't know. As I said, never owned an Xbox. So like, none of the Gears and Halos will be like, wowing me. Bring back Scalebound. That's what I want. I like Scalebound.
I was actually watching a stream and they made a very good Scalebound joke. Where they're like, at the start of the stream they will announce Scalebound, and at the end of the stream they will announce that it's cancelled in record time to go with the record the innards of the Xbox Sex.
Oh dear, they didn't announce an AEW game. You were very upset.
I mean, I didn't actually expect it, but I thought it'd be a fun meme to ask.
Hey Xbox, make an AEW game. I love when people are like, hey AEW, make a game. Like, AEW is like freaking video game studio, god damn it.
And they're like, yeah, we're trying, okay. Give us a minute.
And like, given they're a company that's a year old, even if they signed a deal to make a video game like literally the day they opened, there still wouldn't be an AEW video game for minimum at least 2-3 years.
Yeah, it's going to take a minute. Also, like, you should hope that they're not announcing stuff right now, because if they announce stuff right now, guys that they're about to sign or have just signed won't be in it.
You'll have to pay for Broken Matt Hardy in DLC.
You have to pay for The Revolt in DLC.
Of course, there's always the worry that people might leave by the time they're released. So Kenny Omega won't be in the game. He'll go back to Japan.
He signed for like 3 more years.
Don't worry about it. I thought it was 5.
No, like, the Bucks had, like, 5-year deals, and then Kenny had 1 year less.
So, yeah, so he has 3 left. That makes sense.
What? Do you? I forgot mid-sentence what I was going to say. As we head into faux E3, what do you want to see? What is your wish list? Give me your top three wish lists from Garrett Kidney heading into E3. Top three E3. Number 3.
Well, E3 is dead, but sure. I would like Bloodborne 2, because Bloodborne's cool. Nintendo's dead, though, so they don't even count. Because they're not doing anything for June, apparently. I don't know. Nothing else. Surprise me, video games. Just give me Bloodborne and surprise me. Bloodborne 2,
and that's it.
Yeah.
Nothing else. We don't need anything else.
Surprise me. Because I'm looking forward to Digimon Survive this year. I hope that doesn't get delayed. The Digimon Tactics game. What more could you want in life?
It's up there. You know what I want?
To talk about these great wrestling shows?
Yeah, I suppose.
But what do you want before that?
Announce Devil May Cry 5 versus mode.
Okay.
That's it. That's all I want. Just announce a versus mode.
You want to fight me in Devil May Cry?
Yeah. You got like 3 more games to catch up.
Yes, I cannot play Devil May Cry 5 until I play 4 and DMC, the true canonical Devil May Cry game.
Old Dante.
Every week we talk about AEW Dynamite, WWE NXT. Dante's not on these shows. Stupid. Last week...
I wish
week,
Dante was on the... Actually, he kind of is. He's just Sammy Guevara mixed with Darby Allin.
Sammy Guevara is very much DMC Dante, isn't he?
But it, like with the edge of Darby, if Darby said fuck.
Darby would
let Darby say fuck.
Taz would never let Darby say such things.
We'll get to that.
Indeed. Yes, AEW won last week, so we will talk about AEW first this week, which was back live from Daly's Place with the commentary team of J.R., Tony Schiavone, and Excalibur, and you said Tony Khan.
Imagine, he just shows up. Hey, was good.
Yes, so we're back to a more traditional. Not everyone was there. Lucha Bros weren't there. Hangman wasn't on this show, even though people said he would. I think Tony said he would be there at one stage, but he wasn't here. Pac's still not there, but it's an enhanced roster, and you could tell Joey Janela was very much going stir crazy because he tried very hard in the opening match against Cody.
Yeah, he's like, I'm just gonna die a little bit.
Yeah, it's just I haven't been able to wrestle for 2 months, so I'm going to overcompensate for that by trying to die.
And he has fancy dick tassels.
Mm-hmm. As one does.
And he had nice hair.
His quarantine hair, yeah. Which added a layer of the sleaze between the hair, the beard, and the chain.
Yeah. Like, Joey Janela has a look, and it's working.
Yes, this was a fun match. Cody beat him, but that was a good, fun, competitive match. Lots of fun counters. Cody did his wonky moonsault off of a barrier, basically. Cody's moonsault is hilarious, because it's always like he veers dramatically to the side, but it still works out.
Yeah, it's very wonky, but, like, does it matter? I did like his big mean face after he did it. He's like,
Yeah, I'm determined after my wonky moonsault. Yeah, good match. Good opener. I thought J.R. was good on the show. I wasn't, which means he's going to be awful next week, because those are the laws of J.R. But I thought J.R. was good.
Joey Janela's a weird one, huh? He's been booked very inconsistently in AEW.
Well, it's clear he's not being pushed, but it's also clear they like him. So, like, he's down there, he's doing things with people, like, he's working mini-programs with freaking Kenny Omega, and he's wrestling Cody on TV, so it's clear, like, they're not like, this guy is bottom of the barrel, we don't want to do anything with him, but it's also like, we're pushing other people at the moment, Joey, so you're just going to be a guy who loses competitively to bigger stars.
But then, like, he'll beat Phoenix out of nowhere.
And then that was a strange one.
He'll beat Sean Spears, and then he'll, like, lose a trios enhancement match to Death Triangle.
Yeah, pretty much. Though Sean Spears is also very low on the totem pole.
Yeah, well, you say that, but he's like, got a feud with Cody again?
We'll also get to that, unless that was next. No, Nyla Rose was next. Nyla Rose is back. She destroyed Kenzie Page. She literally squashed her with a giant swanton bomb.
Rude.
It was a literal squash. So, yeah.
What do you know about Kenzie Page?
She was, who's apparently already 18. No. Debuted on national television at 18. I'm 20. I'm going on 28, and I've achieved nothing in my life.
10 years older than her.
No, I've been on. The back of my head was on Impact once. So there you go. I've debuted on national television too.
There you go. Take that, Kenzie Page.
I would have only been 25 at the time, though. So there you go. Or 26. I don't know what I. 20. Yeah, 25. That makes sense.
Well.
Yes. Ew. The women's division is back to life, though. So that's nice.
It exists, apparently.
After it fell off the face of the earth due to coronavirus.
Britt Baker was the only women's wrestler employed.
Hey, they had Sheeta there too.
And Rebel.
That's true. These are the only ones. It's funny, like people were like, oh, the AEW women's division, they've done nothing. It's like, no one is there. They have two women.
Yeah. They had Penelope. Well, at least they had people on Dark, didn't they? I don't watch Dark. Does Dark even exist anymore?
I have not watched a single solitary second of Dark since it went to Empty Arena. By the way, this show was in Daly's Place, which is outdoor. And because like we're in May, and this was an outdoor show that started at 8 p.m. Eastern time, the sun was still out, which I thought was really nice for the first hour. I don't know why the difference, like the sun being out, made the show feel like much less empty and less claustrophobic. But yeah, All empty arena shows should be done in open sunlight.
Well, like, it's fun. In general, I feel like this show actually felt a bit more like a real AEW show.
Yeah.
Like, going into this show, I was actually excited instead of just going, okay, well, it's time to watch AEW with no fans.
Well, it still had no fans, but sure.
Yeah, but like, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't have that same kind of dread heading in.
So you're happy with them doing live shows in a pandemic? Is that what you're saying, Liam?
I mean, purely from an aesthetic and viewership point of view. Yes. Yes, I am.
We had MJF doing a promo from a green screen where he was clearly hovering over the floor. It was very...
It ruled, though. I really wished it had have said Matt's Rad's green screen room. That would have been even better.
No, this is Matt's Rats. Obviously, his rat has very fancy rooms with skyline views. This isn't a green screen at all, Liam.
Nah, I like it. It's a good promo.
He was literally hovering. It was your every MJF promo of all time. He's fine.
Yeah, but I like him better when he doesn't do, like, crowd work.
That's true. When there is no crowd, he can't do crowd work.
Mm.
Yeah, we got it. Like, Sean Spears is still on the show, which, fine. I'll accept
it. I like his promo.
It was a pretty good promo where he was like giving out about Cody for Dustin nearly dying last week. By the way, the AEW YouTube channel called this something to the extent of Sean Spears talks about Dustin's Rhodes career. So he's not going to be Rhodes anymore based off the YouTube channel's title.
Oh, now he's just Dust.
Yes, or yes, he'll go back to Gold Dust or Dust Black, Gold. Black Rain or... whatever he was in WCW, the artist formerly known as Tafka Goldust. The artist
formerly known as Goldust.
The artist formerly known as Dustin. Yeah, either way. But yeah, Sean Spears, basically Cody left Dustin out to die. And he's selfish. So, like, you really running back Sean Spears and Cody? Yeah.
It's so weird. Maybe they're going to go Spears-Dustin.
Well, like, that was my first thought. It's like, oh, he's talking about Dustin. That's going to be the next program. But then he focused the vast majority of this promo on Cody. He quickly pivoted off Dustin. So, like... I don't know. Maybe he's going to feud with the Rhodes.
Yeah. That's going to how they introduce his tag partner.
Who will be?
Who got fired recently? Zack Ryder.
EC3. Ugh. Of course, that can't happen until July anyway. But Spears and MJF did a little promo deal at ringside, so could just be MJF.
But they've been doing that for like since the start of this. They've had MJF and Spears like bet together.
So they could do MJF and Spears against the Rhodes brothers. That would make some degree of sense.
I really feel like MJF was going to go against Mox, though.
Well, MJF is facing Jungle Boy at Double or Nothing, which, sure.
It's not a real show. It's not a real pay-per-view. Don't worry about it.
They could have at least done something to make that match make sense.
Just do, like, Wardlow and him versus... War! Versus Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus.
Did you see Wardlow's tan this week? That man went all in on his tan this week. He was rather orange.
It is war, okay? What do you want from him? It's his war paint. It's true. Tanner.
Jon Moxley defeated Kazarian in what was a very gentleman's three wrestling match. It was like one of those, like, this is a perfectly respectable wrestling match between two professional wrestlers. And it's just like, yeah, it's fine.
Went long. Like, I like the match and I like Kaz, and it was fun to see these two actually interact. But also, 16 minutes was too long.
Far too long. And they were like, Kazarian has no history as a singles wrestler. It's like, dude was X Division champion multiple times. You guys back off.
We
don't
acknowledge that company, okay? This is AEW. We only acknowledge New Japan and Shimmer.
Excalibur did multiple times mention, I suppose, that he was a singles champion in other companies and only recently became a more tag team focused wrestler. Though he was a tag team focused wrestler all the way back in 2004 with Michael Shane. So there you go. But yes, multiple time X Division champion. Very accomplished singles professional wrestler, Frankie Kazarian.
Former PWG champion. Come on, Excalibur.
Yeah, that's your land, Excalibur. You should be like, whoa, you back down, Jim Ross. Kazarian
we get a big Jim Ross Excalibur feud.
Yeah, where Kazarian is the crux of it, of course.
Then we got a cool angle that I liked.
Yes, we were speculating as to who would face Jon Moxley at Double or Nothing. The answer is Brody Lee.
You know, the thing is, I was thinking, like, there's really no one else that you can do against him if you actually want to sell pay-per-views.
Yeah.
Because, like, I think in retrospect, it was going to be Pac.
Mm-hmm.
It really feels like it was going to be Pac and him at Double or Nothing. but like we can't have Park because he's in another country, assumedly. We can't do MJF because
we can't do Cody.
We can't do Kenny. So like we can't do Jericho, who's like the next top guy to them, Brody.
And Brody Marks is one I'm kind of fine with them blowing off on a short term feud. It's like that's not like a big thing I was looking forward to. So,
but like, do you have?
But it's also Brody a respectable pay per view main event. You kind of have to.
Yeah, but it's like it feels so weird to just have him lose here.
But then you either have him win, which I think bad, or lose on bullshit, which is probably even worse again.
I mean, like I'm not agreeing with it, but I'm just saying having him like is kind of a weird corner to back yourself into. But the angle itself is really good.
Yes, they beat his minions attacked. Then SU tried to make the save, but also got laid out. Then he came out, beat up John Moxley. Like, give me a title shot. Give me a title shot. And Mox is like, oh, you just have to ask. You didn't have to beat me up, you jerk.
It's a pretty good promo by Brody, too.
Yes, he's wearing his full Vince McMahon suit as well. This was the most Vince McMahon suit he's worn so far.
I'm very glad that they kept the continuity of him telling the minions to start dressing up. And now they are wearing button-ups and ties.
They look very respectable now. They're decent minions.
Well, now they look like... They don't look like dopes. The Dork Order no more.
Dork ordered no more indeed. So yeah, that's our Double or Nothing main event. Brody Lee will face Jon Moxley for the AEW World Heavyweight Championship. As I said, that's the right balance between something I don't mind them giving away, but also something that has to be a pay-per-view main event in front of nobody.
I think it'll be a pretty good, like... I assume they'll have a brawl and it'll be really fun.
Yeah, one would hope. Hopefully it's better than the Kazarian match.
Yeah, I think it will be.
Brandi Rhodes is a really good promo. And yeah. I'm like, why did you do that bullshit Nightmare Collective stuff? When, like, she cuts this really good promo on Jake Roberts and, like, just sit her straight to camera. And she's one of the better promos in the company. And have her do mystical bullshit where she's cutting hair. And fair enough, it did bring Mel in. So, you know, net positive on the whole.
Pull one out for Mel.
Where is Mel? Mel should have just attacked Brandy. Mel should join Jake Roberts and Lance Archer.
That would actually be kind of a cool little thing.
There you go.
Jake Roberts is Mel's manager?
Yeah.
I'm into
Mel's
this.
Like, you abandoned me, so I joined Jake, and now I'm going to weirdly hump you. We'll get to that in a second.
And now I'm going to smack a bitch up.
Yeah, Mel. That is her theme song. It's...
No one has heard her theme song.
With an exclamation mark for the I and bitch, so it's obviously a child-friendly theme song. Yeah, Brandy, really good promo. What's she doing nonsense?
I hope, I like her with QT and Dustin, and I hope, like, she can actually cut some promos for them, like, along this manner, if they ever get into an actual feud that's about them and not just about Cody.
True. Cody does have a horrible habit of sending his friends and family out to die.
Well, they said that QT wanted this one.
Sure.
Like, they established that he asked for this because he wanted to defend Dustin Rhodes' honor, his tag team partner.
And then he also got killed.
Do you remember what their tag name is?
The natural marshals, the natural disaster, natural nightmares. There we go. We got there. Lance Archer defeated QT Marshall in a match you were giving out about Lance Archer against Dustin being too long. Lance Archer against QT Marshall should never, in the history of the world, go through a commercial break.
Oh, how you have turned on QT Marshall.
QT Marshall should never, ever, ever go through a commercial break with Lance Archer. It's just not a thing that should happen.
And Jake was back.
Yes, Jake was back. He was wearing a mask.
For like 3 seconds before he took it off.
Yes, he immediately removed it. Well, he lowered it. He did not remove it, I guess. But yeah, this match is way too long. What are they doing? But alas, after the match, which was more important.
Jake whipped his snake out.
Jake whipped his snake out in multiple ways.
ways? What's the other way?
Well, the way he weirdly hovered over Brandy and dry humped her is probably the other way.
I don't like live animals in wrestling.
He stepped on the snake's tail. Do snakes have tails, or is it just the end of a snake?
It's stepped on the snake's foot.
Yes, the foot of the snake. Whatever you call the end of a snake, Jake accidentally stepped on it. Yeah, the butt. Is it a butt? Is it a foot? Is it a tail? It could be so many things.
It's spine.
It could also be a spine. But yeah, But the Jake Shaw dropped the snake over Brandy. Brandy's
I
like,
never
whoa.
Understood this, man. Like, it's so stupid. Like, it's not like the snake's gonna eat the person. Like, who cares? Oh, you got a slimy snake on me, and then you took it off me, and I'm fine.
Snakes are scary,
this was,
Liam.
This gimmick was always stupid.
What about when the snake actually bit Randy Savage?
That was the only time it was good.
They should always have the snake actually bite somebody. Because I assume the snake was defanged, so.
Which is also bad.
I would hope, yeah, if you're going to use a snake in this environment, I would hope the snake was defanged, but...
Like, don't use live animal, like...
Well, at least there was no pyro
stage, man.
And no people to scare the snake, unlike the freaking...
But then it got stepped on.
Yes, the snake did get stepped on.
I'm like, I thought we were at the stage in wrestling where we were overusing live animals.
He's Jake the Snake Roberts, Liam. What's he going to do?
Have a gun called a snake and just shoot people.
You always go back to shooting.
I think everything should be a shoot.
Oh, we'll talk about that on NXT. Yeah. It was a good little... The squash match was way too long, but despite that, I'd like the snake. Aside from the animal abuse aside.
Yes. There was a lot of confusion about where Cody was during this segment. If you were paying attention on Twitter, he said he was in the shower.
And in fairness, they also brought up on commentary that you have to take a golf cart from the locker rooms to the arena. Like, they covered it. So, like, Cody not only posted a tweet beforehand being like, I'm about to jump in the shower, but also on commentary, they expressly mentioned that Cody is likely in the locker room where you have to take a golf cart to get all the way over to the actual building. So, there you go. Cody was busy. He was
washing off.
They should
have had Cody run out in a towel, like, with wet hair.
Though realistically, Cody should have learned his lesson, because this is not the first time he was in the shower while one of his friends was being attacked.
Yeah,
he probably should
showers.
Be watching
Cody,
more attentively.
Shower after the show. You're an EVP.
Shower after QT Marshall has wrestled.
Yeah, shower after your friend is going in to die.
Taz went up to Darby Allin, and he's like, hey, you all got my guidance? And Darby's like, nah.
I really like that they're just going to have all these dudes have their, like, mini stables.
Yeah, with Taz in his shoot stable.
Taz, Darby, Joey?
No.
Okay, sorry. I was trying to pitch a Taz stable, man.
Because Joey has his, like, mini thing with Private Party going on.
Does he? Or was that just a one-time thing because they needed a trio to lose the Death Triangle?
Probably a bit of both, but then everybody disappeared, so you can't really tell.
I mean, they were there on this show. They were in the crowd. They didn't acknowledge
That's
anything.
That's true. Taz, last time he managed somebody on television was Samoa Joe in 2009.
And that ruled, so this should be fine.
Did it rule?
No, that was a joke.
Oh, yeah. Well, Darby already has the face paint, so he can't get the horrible face paint. He already has that.
I'd like Tully has, like, Sean, you know, kind of a sleek deal. Arn is the Nightmare Collective family, whatever. And now Taz is just gonna have, like, all the misfits. He's gonna have, like, that's what I want him. I want him to have, like, all the degenerates. Have him have Darby, have him have Janella, have him have
Chris.
Chris?
Statlander.
Really? I guess.
Yeah, I would put her at the degenerate. Well, she's an alien, but
that's not a degenerate.
Aliens are inherently degenerates.
Wow. Garrett going hard against intergalactic relations.
Damn right.
Pineapple Pete.
Yes, who is facing Chris Jericho next week.
And that rules so hard.
Yeah. Honestly, Darby doesn't fit with Taz. This shouldn't go anywhere.
Yeah, it's weird. But hey, maybe this is just going to be a thing that Taz is going to bring someone into feud with Darby, feeling disrespected.
Yeah, as much as you want this Taz stable, like, Darby and Taz is just... That doesn't work. Those two people don't go together.
Who do you put with Taz then, if they do a feud with... Darby.
Death Triangle. Taz will be the manager of Death Triangle.
Is there anyone? I don't know. I'm very confused. It feels like they're preparing for a bunch of people just to come in out of nowhere.
Like if you had, like, Jeff Cobb, that would be a good Taz person, because Suplex Boy. Who else is a Suplex Boy on the AEW roster? They don't have many of them. They need more Suplex Boys.
I think we always need more Suplex Boys. That's Maybe true. He will manage. Who's the dude, the jobber that we like?
Lee Johnson?
Lee. Maybe you'll manage Lee Johnson.
Who was not on this show. It was very upsetting.
Yeah. Neither was the War Dog in a wrestling capacity.
He was in the background.
Yeah, but he's not a background player, all right?
Listen, standing me looking mean in the background is one of the very limited roles in which Wardlow excels.
Actually, we did...
I like the way you started moving on before then immediately getting upset.
We got our first interaction in any capacity between Kenny Omega and the War Dog on this show. It's happening.
Did we?
Yeah, as Kenny was walking through the crowd, MJF told the War Dog to watch him.
Oh, right, yeah.
So, you know, the seeds have been sown.
For All Out 4. Triple or nothing in two years when War Dog is run through the AEW roster and only Kenny can take him down.
Kenny's the world champ. Defending the
belt. War Dog is world champ. War Dog is dominant world champ for years.
Kenny's been injured for a year. And he went to New Japan to wrestle in a G1. And he beat Kota in the main event of the Tokyo Dome. And now he's back to face the War Dog.
To save AEW from the brutal reign of the War Dog.
I'm so into this. This is my TEW game.
Next week, MJF returns to action. Brody Lee faces Christopher Daniels. Best friends face Jurassic Express. Hikaru Shida versus Penelope Ford versus Dr. Britt Baker versus Chris Statlander, which I assume is a number one contendership match. Did they say that expressly?
No, they said it would have implications.
It would have implications, so it's a number one contenders match. Chris Jericho versus Pineapple Pete!
Woo!
Which surely is the main event.
surely should give Pineapple Pete him like his opportunity to get his job.
Pineapple Pete should go over. That's
he really like, oh, Matt Hardy costs him. Pineapple Pete rolls him up.
Yeah, that would work.
Jericho's third ever loss in the AEW to Pineapple Pete.
Yes, there's Scorpio Sky, John Moxley, and Pineapple Pete.
Yeah,
who would have predicted it?
So into it. Then Pineapple Pete gets an AEW title shot at All Out.
Yeah,
and then the War Dog attacks him.
Takes his spot, and then that's the start of the War Dog reign. Which brings us to our main event, in which the Sex Gods, Chris Jericho and Sammy Guevara, defeated Kenny Omega and Matt Hardy in a street fight.
This match is awesome.
This match, legitimately, is the first time in 2 months I've unreservedly had fun watching pro wrestling.
4.5, baby.
Like, it's the first time that I've sat there and watched something, and my brain hasn't been like, imagine if there was a crowd.
Yeah, it helped that they were like backstage where you had a bunch of people going, whoa, whoa, like it gave an atmosphere.
Too many people
crowd.
Going, whoa, whoa, but yes.
Yeah, they were all tested, it's fine.
Including the children, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah, this match was so much fun. It reminded
me of like Jeff Hardy and Umaga.
Yeah.
Like that's the vibe I got watching it, and I was like, I'm really into this. And then there was a bunch of really crazy spots, which Garrett will now break down one after the other.
Sammy Guevara got hit by a golf cart in what was just like...
Not a golf cart.
Oh, well, what was it? It was a transportation cart. All right, because there's no golf involved.
It was not used for the explicit purpose of golf. What golf course was around, huh?
Well, that's Jacksonville. I assume there's like a golf course within like 2 miles of anywhere.
Fair.
But yes, the bump Sammy took for that golf cart shot was like... one of the most amazing things I've ever seen in my life.
Kenny took, like, a dangerous-looking moonsault.
Yes, Kenny climbed to the top of a crane, and, well, in fairness, it was dangerous in theory, but, like, in terms of the catch, he landed as gracefully as you humanly possibly could.
Saved that, man. Like, but, like, the thing is that he didn't do any jump, he just fell and flipped. So, like, yeah. I was like, oh my god, Kenneth.
But, as I said, that was one of the better catches for a dive, because, like, he literally just... they caught him. They just caught him, instead of, you know, him bashing his knee off the floor or something.
It probably helps when that's one of your bosses jumping onto you.
It does. And when you have Chris Jericho there to catch, I'd imagine. He is a very experienced pro.
I'm giving that to Hager, man. He, like, fully caught everything on him.
Well, he's gigantic. You'd expect him to.
He basically, like, picked him up into a power slam and fell.
Yeah.
Matt Hardy changed gimmicks 3 times.
Yes, he hit a splash off a ladder through a table before they went to the madness.
Inner Circle 1.
Yes. This match ruled. Legit, as I said, this is the first time I've had unreserved fun since we've had Empty Arena Wrestling shows. It's the best match in forever. Yeah. If you haven't seen it, go watch it. It's just so much fun. This match is so much fun. It's silly and stupid, and they do cool stuff. And it's wrestling. This is like I went on that rant somewhat facetiously at the end of last week's show, but I really mean it. I miss wrestling, and this Empty Arena stuff just isn't wrestling. And this felt like wrestling, and I was happy for a while.
There's a lot of really cool moments. One of my underrated moment was Santana and Ortiz running from opposite sides of the pitch to save Jericho from taking a one-wing angel.
I understand that they're waiting in the wings. Jericho led them there. It's the master plan.
I like that Inner Circle are just straight up using the shield bomb now. Like, it's not even just the feud with Mox, they're just straight up doing it.
Yeah, all five of them too, because they're better than the shield. Five is better than three.
That's true. That's why Big Joe is going to come in and save John, and they're going to do Joe and John versus the Inner Circle.
Joe and John against Sammy and Jericho, and the all-out main event. We have a lot of all-out main events.
I'll go full five on that, for real.
Sammy and Roman would rule.
Jericho hits the Judas effect after he was told there was a minute left on TV. That was like the one low point was just Jericho going, wait, there's a minute? All right. Then, hey, guys, because we were planning to do something. They just elbow him and wins.
Listen, it's live TV.
They got a real cool pose with the Inner Circle logo on the scoreboard.
I'm slightly disappointed they didn't brawl into the stadium itself and start fighting on
the pitch.
I think
that's literally what they were about to do when they realized they had a minute left.
He's going to beat him in like the middle of the pitch.
Mm.
Which would have been a nice visual, but alas.
And they all, I like how the Inner Circle pose is just them flipping us all off.
Yeah, they're mean.
And they have a cool logo.
They do have a cool logo. This match, I like this match so much. This match made me happy. This match made me feel joy for the first time in so long.
Wow. And that's not even just because of Corona. Just in general.
Yes, just in general. My empty, joyless life has been fulfilled for a brief moment by... All right, NXT. For a show that was meant to be, like, takeover level, this show sucked.
I mean, I liked some things.
There was so little to this show. We'll go bit by bit. Gargano defeated Dominik Dijakovic in a perfectly fine, if a little long opener. Yes.
Gargano got rid of his theme.
Mm.
He now has like anime adventure music.
Who doesn't love anime adventure music?
His gimmick is that he is a my wife guy now.
Mm-hmm.
And we found out finally what the answer to TJGW is.
Oh yes, and I don't even remember. Oh, yeah, I do remember.
Ooh, go ahead.
The Johnny Gargano way. God damn
it. I liked us thinking it was an I and going, what was it? We thought it was tonight Johnny's gonna win.
Which is probably better than the Johnny Gargano way.
I like that even though he's a my wife guy now, Candace still wears the tonight Johnny's gonna win, like the Johnny Gargano way shirt.
Yeah.
Still about him. His gear isn't as good as his normal gear. And this match was pretty good, but alright, but long.
Candace is not as good a hype woman for Johnny as Johnny is a hype man for Candace.
Yeah.
Come on, Candace. You can give him more than that. He gives you everything.
He lets you eat first.
Yeah. What more do you want?
Mommy eats first.
Akira Tozawa defeated Jack Gallagher in a really short match. Like, what was there was fine, but, like, it was just over. And I'm just the first couple matches in this tournament were really good, and now they're getting no time at all, and it's just like, alright.
I think it's because they're bored with them already. This is why they don't do round-robin tournaments, is because they get bored halfway through.
It's not even halfway through. They did a good first couple matches, and now they're just completely... just burning it off. It's just like, we need to get these matches out. 4 minutes, go.
Tozawa is a jobber on Raw and a big winner on NXT.
Well, Shane Thorne is a jobber on NXT and a big winner on Raw. So really, there's inconsistencies everywhere.
No, Brendan Vick is a big winner on Raw.
I'd like to think it's just passive aggressiveness between Triple H and Heyman, who are just that like, oh, these are your prospects.
That would make it interesting if the subtext was that they were like taking shots at each other.
By squashing each other's prospects.
Yeah, Ricochet, big NXT prospect.
Oh, Ricochet. Don't even mention Ricochet. It makes me upset. Chelsea Green defeated Jia Li. Apparently the Elias Jia Li thing is still going. We wanted it. Like, they brought it back. They ended it. And now it's just still going. The match was utterly pointless. There's no reason. It existed solely so Jia Li could come out and distract. Or so Elias could come out and distract Jia Li. Well, I hate stuff like this.
Chelsea Green just does the I'm prettier because it has a fun name with her, the I'm prettier.
Like, which, in fairness, very good pun.
Very good pun, but, like, she doesn't hit it very good.
She doesn't hit it very good. She should work on that. But this man, like, I hate matches that exist solely for some dumbass. Like, that's stupid.
And the Robert Stone brand is expanding.
So was it did they tease Elia was joining, or was it just something to do with Elia or Jia Li? I don't even know.
Well, they acknowledged on commentary that I think Mauro literally said the Robert Stone brand is expanding.
He may well have. I don't listen to Mauro. That's my problem.
Velveteen Dream promo. I still don't really want to talk about Velveteen Dream.
we'll just leave him till the main event. Yeah. Oh God, next. This show, there's nothing on. I didn't really. This episode of NXT was terrible. Karrion Kross and Scarlett. Just Scarlett, I believe, not Scarlett Bordeaux. You can't get past Karrion Kross. Listen, if I can't say the word Karrion Kross without you laughing, this show is doomed.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to defend the entrance.
You are a big fan of Jimmy Fallon's lip sync battle, and thus, you really loved the entrance.
Okay. In theory...
Karrion Kross.
In theory,
uh-huh.
The entrance is sound.
Mm-hmm.
But when Scarlett is, like, doing cartoonishly bad lip syncing to it, it she just...
She would not win an episode of Lip Sync Battle.
I felt so bad for her.
It's so stupid.
Like, just let... I hope that bit's cut. Like, they just don't do that bit from now on. Like, just have them walk out and do the same entrance. I even liked having the smoke in the ring. I thought it was cool.
But it's a wrestling match.
Eh, who cares? We don't care about wrestler safety.
That's true. If they had an audience for this, it might have worked.
Mm. I thought it was really funny. After they were done and they were posing in the ring and, like, the music stopped and there was just no reaction.
Just dead silence to it all. And it's just, oh no.
I felt bad.
You know, Scarlett doing the lip syncing, if that's a long-term thing and the crowd starts singing along.
Well, the lyrics are literally on the screen. That, you know, that's the intention.
But there's nobody there. So what are you doing it now for? Just leave them.
Oh, Scarlett.
Just Scarlett. She's no longer Bordeaux, apparently.
It was really funny to me that, like, Triple H really likes Poppy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I need a Poppy on my show every week. So we're going to turn Scarlett into my Poppy.
Triple H's own personal Poppy.
That's what it felt like to me. Like, because when Poppy was doing, like, her performances, like, half the time they'd be in black and white. And then, like, they did the black and white entrance. So I was just like, it's just NXT Poppy.
She should start doing Io Shirai's theme.
And, like, her not theme, but, like, they clearly wanted it to be her theme.
They should have Scarlett come out with everybody who has an interest theme that has words, and she should just lip-sync them all.
She just does karaoke. That's her gimmick.
She's just standing in, like, the first row behind the barricade, just singing people's songs. Which, by the way, Asuka did that on Raw, so, clearly.
Oh, more shots in the Heyman Triple H battle, clearly. The match ruled, though.
Oh, Kari, he hit two Doomsday Saitos and then the crossjack and he won.
Yeah, sick. Good shit.
Cross is a very enjoyable wrestler until he has to have a wrestling match longer than 30 seconds.
Maybe that's the key, though. Just never have him do that.
Because, like, he basically did everything he does in all of his matches in this match.
You know what? Why can't they just do that? Why can't they just make Karrion Kross have sub 5-minute matches every time? Even if he main events. have a semi-main that is like the big match that you want people to, and then just have a 5-minute main event. I don't think main events inherently need to be these 20-minute epics that every show does.
And tell that to New Japan.
Ooh.
That's going to be my response to every one of your complaints about match length from now on. It's just like, I would tell them if they were having shows. There's the argument that you have to give people value for money, especially on shows they're paying.
That's what I'm saying. You do that, but do that in your semi-main. Have Gargano and... I was going to say Andrade, but he's not there anymore. Gargano and Real Mendoza go 18 minutes in the semi-main and have a banger, and then just have like a 5-minute... match that's based on popularity and based on stardom and based on this, like, this entrance. This entrance is literally my point.
Well, in theory, you could argue that's what W have been doing with Brock Lesnar for quite a while, and with rapidly declining viewership.
Yeah, well, the matches are good.
Io Shirai, speaking of not good, defeated Charlotte by disqualification.
I was really mad about this.
Oh, the finish is just like one of those things where I'm just like, fuck you.
Because
you know?
It was going good. I was really into it.
It was like a perfectly solid match that was building up, and then she just hits it with a kendo stick, and I'm just like, fuck you for wasting my time. Just, and there are people like, oh, the point is to get heat on Charlotte. That's not how this works anymore. Everyone knows what's happening here. The heat goes on the company. If you fail to deliver a match that you advertised, it's not on Charlotte for getting disqualified on purpose. Nobody thinks like that anymore. This isn't 1985. The heat goes on the company because they willingly ripped you off. And, like, Charlotte can beat Io Shirai. Like, Io Shirai is not this super protected act. Charlotte can beat her.
Io Shirai has lost 3 title matches.
Yeah, it's fine if Charlotte wins. It's not like Io is this person with tons of momentum. Just have Charlotte beat her.
And then Rhea.
Rhea's return was such a dud.
You know my favorite thing about it was?
What?
When Rhea and Io were going backstage, and they were walking backstage, and Rhea just keeps going, shut up! Shut up!
Because Io kept shouting at her in Japanese, and Rhea's like, no, stop talking, shut up!
That ruled.
God, when we were talking about, like, there's certain things you shouldn't do in empty arena shows, run-ins like Rhea's is one
Returns
of those things.
And run-ins.
Yeah. Where she just comes out to no reaction. She doesn't even, like, hit a big move or something. She doesn't get her theme song, which I don't know why she... Like, it was
because
made even worse that she
stomp.
Didn't get her theme. She'd have to do the stomp,
if
yes.
She does
that's
the
why
theme,
she's...
she has to do the stomp.
We've established that she doesn't care about the people she's running into save. Mm. Which it would actually be better if that was, like, long-term NXT lore, that every time she makes a save, she does her dumbass stomp. It would be kind of funny. But no, she doesn't even have her theme song. She just comes out. I think she hits, like, a forearm or two before Charlotte bails. And that's it. That's the big Rhea Ripley return for the first time in 6 weeks since WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
Everything about this was bad, except the match, which was fine, until the finish, which was terrible.
I actually liked the match. Until the finish.
Yeah, they were just getting going. They were just getting to the good stuff, and you're like, oh, kendo stick. I'm like, screw you. Screw you for wasting my time.
Yeah. You alright?
Yeah, Kushida, Jake Atlas, perfectly fine, solid match, but it was, again, 3 minutes long.
It was a pretty good little 3-minute sprint, though.
It was, which was all the more further, because both, even the Tozawa and Gallagher match was good for what it was, but what it was a 3-minute match, and like, I want Best of the Super Juniors. Best of the Super Juniors just cancelled this week. You could make up for it by having Kushida have cool matches with Jake Atlas, but you rush right through them, because God forbid, we need so much on this damn television show. How many matches? 8 matches on this 2-hour show, because that's good formatting.
Remember when TakeOvers had 4 matches on a 2-hour show? Before we... are we done with this? We're done with this. Cool. Are you ready? Finn Balor's going to reveal who attacked him, like we were promised last week.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
He doesn't know is the answer.
Finn Balor didn't reveal who attacked him.
Oh, I hate Finn. Finn is like, you're going to get the push, but it's not going to be a push. It's going to be a squash. And I'm like...
I thought all the snakes were the people backstage.
In the office, I use insider terms. Pew, pew, bullet club.
For life?
I'm just like,
you know, he
so
was one step
cringy.
Away from being, like, doing a CM Punk. And you know what? When they fired Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson.
Oh, I hate everything. This show sucked. I hated this show so much.
Do they have they signed anyone who's, like, yet to debut who can be the Finn attacker?
I think it's Cross. Surely it's Cross, right?
But he's doing Ciampa.
Is he doing Ciampa? Oh, he is doing Ciampa. I forgot. Ciampa is one of those people who disappears off the show, and I forget he exists. But yes, he did attack Ciampa.
So, like, who, are they going to bring someone down to NXT?
Well, they teased a feud with Cameron Grimes. We'll get to that in a second.
Yeah, but Cameron admitted to not attacking him.
Or maybe that's just a classic misdirect. Maybe he was attacked by the people, the kidnapping Lucha Ninjas.
It was El Hijo del Fantasma. Maybe it was Drake Maverick.
Maybe it was
Drake. Trying to secure his job.
Yeah, well, there's no one that pops out here that I'm like, yeah, it's definitely that.
Who else got signed in the Thatcher class?
It's just going to be Walter. Walter.
That would make sense. So, no, it wasn't?
Yeah. I don't know.
You know, he's probably some Undisputed Era dope.
It'll probably Bobby Fish. He'll feud with Bobby Fish.
Him and Roddy would be cool.
It would actually be funny if it was Undisputed Era, and it's like, we took you out because we're perfectly fine facing Velveteen Dream. We didn't want to face you.
Like, perfectly valid, just validating Balor's points the entire time, that he's like the only real star here.
Which is kind of true. Even though his promos are the worst.
Sorry, have you seen Karrion Kross's entrance?
So many things. Cameron Grimes defeated Denzel God damn it. There you go. I can't say words. I've given up on this show. I do like that Grimes' entire thing is he tries to hit his stomp as fast as he can.
Yeah, it does rule. And then he cut a pretty good promo. Let Trevor talk.
Yeah, let Trevor talk. He went for a stomp. He got suplexed a couple times. Then he hit a stomp. It's like, yeah.
Apparently, Denzel Dijonet faced Seth Rollins on Raw.
It's like, he's getting clearly, big opportunities lately.
Clearly, another shot in the Heyman Triple H war.
Yes, it's just squashing people. Cameron Grimes is better than Seth Rollins, is what we're saying here.
I mean, did Seth beat him in 25 seconds? I don't know. I didn't watch it.
Yeah, so they're clearly setting up a Finn versus Trevor Lee short-term program.
We'll see it's how next that week.
Goes. It is next week, so it's ultra short-term. Yes.
It's an NXT TV program.
Which is a two-week program, yeah.
It's a Cameron Grimes program, actually. 2 weeks, 2 weeks with Johnny, 2 weeks with Keith, 2 weeks with Kushida.
And yeah. Another two-week program will be blown off next week when Imperium face Riddle and Thatcher for the tag titles.
That match is going to fuck, though.
It might. I don't trust any empty arena match anymore.
I trust the NXT tag division. Nothing in this world, if there's one thing that can't fail me, it's the NXT tag division.
Big fan of the Forgotten Sons.
No, they are on the SmackDown tag division.
Yes, but they weren't. Adam Cole defeated Velveteen Dream.
In a match that was like 10 minutes, they sure got this out of the way quick.
Well, see, the thing is, it sure felt like they were blowing off Dream as quick as they could. But then, like, the last line of the show was Mauro being like, "And Dream certainly isn't done by with Undisputed Era by a long shot." It's
I think that was them hedging their bets.
I'd much rather get Dexter Lumis against Adam Cole. Is that going to be a program? Dexter Lumis against Adam Cole?
Hey, man. Dexter Lumis only pretends to be a creep.
I did enjoy that the Undisputed Era made
a run. That was a good joke. Fuck you, man. Sidestep that joke. That was good comedy.
I liked him when he crawled out from under the ring while they were trying to do a run.
And it scared them. He's like the boogeyman.
I would understand. You're like, haha, we're doing a run. Oh no, it's Dexter Lumis. But then ref bump. And then it just became your dumbass NXT main event with ref bumps, false finishes, and Cole won.
Mm-hmm. And
I hated this episode. Dream over. Terrible. Dream over indeed. Dream over for Velveteen Dream. Oh!
Dream over maybe permanently. We'll find out.
When Mauro, any near fall in this match, Mauro was like, oh, and it's Dream over now!
Mauro and JR back again.
Hey, JR was good this week.
I'm pretty sure he mentioned Okada at one point.
He did. He was like, people were like, where is the Kenny Omega that wrestled Okada? He's right here.
He also called him the best match machine, which really irked me.
That's just, the match is a synonym for bout. What's your problem?
Yeah, I don't like it, okay? Best bout machine flows. There's a reason it was used.
Best match machine. There you go. No. It works. Works perfectly well. No, it fits in the theme song.
I hate it so much.
I'm going to call him the best match machine from now on. Because he did have the best match of the week, didn't he, Liam? What was your match of the week? See, segue, professional.
Karrion.
Dude, I will end your life.
That might actually be my second favorite. But, yeah. Big Ken does it again.
The best wrestler in the world in the year 2020. pretty undisputedly as well.
In the world for like last 4 years, but yeah, sure.
Probably not last year though. Last year, you know,
Will kind of ran away with it last year.
Will had too many good matches. Curse you, Will. Show of the week, Liam.
Ooh. You didn't give me your best match, Garrett. Which best match?
Yes, it was also the AEW Dynamite main event, which was my favorite match in a long time.
Good. I'm gonna have to vote with our financial overlords.
AEW. Oh yes. We're being paid $100,000 a year. This is why they win. People.
That's why we don't have ads
seriously.
Anymore. We're getting the big bucks now.
Yes. Also, AEW, I really did not like NXT at all. I thought it was a terrible wrestling show. And that brings us, especially for like something that was meant to be like a takeover level, something that was meant like a big promoted show, and it just absolutely stunk on every level.
Mm. It's very true.
Yes, poll 79%, 21% with 67 votes to AEW. So that's
someone
a wrap.
Asked me like last week, and they said, "Has NXT ever won the poll?" And I was like, "I don't think so."
I think it came super close once, where it was like 51-49.
I know it's had like three wins on the show, but I don't think it's ever won the poll.
No, the people clearly they're speaking with their Twitter. If you would like to vote in the poll, of course, you can follow us at
if you're a member of the WWE Universe.
Yes, if you feel this every week is an injustice to NXT, you can vote. You can go to War Games Pod on Twitter and vote. You can follow me on Twitter at Garrett Kidney. You can follow Liam on Twitter at Larrikin.
For now.
You can listen to all your favorite AEW coverage with Everything Elite if you want more in your podcast feed. You can also listen to Shake Them Ropes for WWE Television coverage. Thanks for listening, and bye-bye.
Also, to ruin Garrett's goodbye, you can listen to Wrestling Omakase, which I'll be on eventually.
Hey, John.
Hi, John.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.